You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are continuing in our CCPT Purism series, and we're going to dive into how we went from Rogers into what we know today as CCPT, which is through Virginia Axline. But before we get into that, I want to give a little shout out. I just yesterday graduated another group out of the Play Therapy Professional Program, and so excited for them, their confidence and their communication and their efficacy. Just wanted to say congratulations to my newest Play Therapy Professional graduates, and there's just been such a transformation to watch, and it's been such a joy, and they're all saying that they want to keep going for another 6 months. So I don't know what that's going to look like, but anyway, congrats to y'all. And it's one of my favorite things. I have a lot of favorite things these days, but podcasting is definitely one of them. And then the collective is one of them. And then my coaching groups. So excited for new graduates. Okay. So last episode, we looked at the core conditions and the actualizing tendency. And we looked at how that crossed over, and we've been following Rogers' influence, and now we're moving into Axline. So here's what you need to know. Axline was the pioneer who brought Rogers' person-centered play therapy into the playroom and essentially gave us the earliest version of what we know now as CCPT. So let's go back to look at her backstory, and then we'll look at how this actually, practically speaking, took place. So she actually worked closely with Rogers at Ohio State and then at the University of Chicago as well. And she had an interesting background. She came from education and psychology. I know many of you all have a background in education, so that's actually a pretty consistent path, but it uniquely positioned her to take Rogers' work and modify it for children. She published two landmark works, which I own both, so should you. They're out of print, but you can get them used. She published Play Therapy in 1947, which, by the way, just pause there, that's 2 years after the World War, and we're looking at a really interesting scenario for her to have published that in 47, and then she published Dibs, In Search of Self, in 64, and Dibs is, gosh, a groundbreaking book. Every play therapist should read it. Dibs was a real child, and it looked at specific sessions with Dibs as an example of what CCPT looks like in a playroom. That book changed my life, legitimately. I still look at it every once in a while. That is an incredible book to own and to read, probably once a year. You should probably read it every year. Okay, so then Axline took person-centered therapy approaches and created 8 principles of non-directive play therapy. So this is originally published in her 1947 work. And essentially, here's what you need to know about these principles. I actually encourage you to memorize them. But if you don't memorize them, here's what you need to know about their function. It explained how a therapist shows up in the playroom. That's really what these 8 principles are all about, how a play therapist shows up and how they participate in the relationship. It's not about what we do. It's about how we show up and pour into the relationship. So I'm going to quickly go through each of the 8. You should know them and memorize them yourself, but we'll hit highlights. So the first, the therapist must develop a warm, friendly relationship with the child, in which good rapport is established as soon as possible. Okay, why does this matter? Because this is essentially the therapeutic relationship as the primary vehicle for change, as Rogers presented. And the play therapist offers the warm presence where the child feels emotionally safe. That's as simple as it can be. We're just creating a relationship where the child feels safe. They'll naturally self-actualize. It all begins with connection. Okay, number two, the therapist accepts the child exactly as they are. This is essentially unconditional positive regard from Rogers. The therapist shows up and accepts every bit of the child. The child's behaviors, the child's emotions, the child's personality. Doesn't matter if it's aggressive or whatever. The child comes, the therapist accepts the child no matter what. This allows the child to be authentic. And again, if the child feels safe and can be authentic, the child will naturally self-actualize. Okay, three, the therapist establishes a feeling of permissiveness in the relationship so that the child feels free to express their feelings completely. Kids will only express how they really feel if they know it's safe to do so. And so basically what's happening in this one, the play therapist communicates both verbally and non-verbally. You can feel however you need to feel in here. And here's where we get a lot of barbs thrown at us. This does not mean that chaos ensues in the playroom. It means emotional freedom. Child, any feeling is valid. All feelings are valid. The child can feel anything, but there are relational boundaries in the way of limits. But it does not mean chaos. It does not mean child gets to do whatever child wants. It does not mean that there are no expectations. None of those are true. It just means that we allow for the child to feel anything that they need to feel because permissiveness is a principle. Fourth, the therapist is alert to recognize the feelings the child is expressing and reflects those feelings back to the child in such a way that the child gains insight into their behavior. This is essentially empathy, empathic understanding practically applied. We track behavior, we reflect content, but we also reflect feelings. And what that does is it provides meaning to the child that they may not have words for that feeling yet. And we do not interpret what's going on, but we just reflectively respond in such a way that the child gains clarity on their emotions and they better understand themselves. Okay, fifth, the therapist maintains a deep respect for the child's ability to solve their own problems if given an opportunity to do so. The responsibility to make choices and institute change is the child's. This is essentially communicating that the child will self-actualize, and it believes that the child has the capacity for growth. Therefore, we resist the urge to solve problems. We resist the urge to teach coping skills. We resist the urge to redirect play. We trust the process, and we resist adult-driven goals. Why? Because, let's go back to the principle, we maintain a deep respect for the child's ability to solve their own problems. We don't need to solve the problems for the child. This is going straight back to Rogers when we talked about the psychoanalysts and the behaviorists. We just get out of the way and the child does what the child needs to do. Six, the therapist does not attempt to direct the child's actions or conversation in any manner. The child leads the way, the therapist follows. The defining feature of CCPT is being non-directive. We don't ask leading questions. We don't suggest what the child should do. We don't nudge them in a specific direction. Why? Because we witness what's going on. We support what's going on. But we don't lead. The child is the expert on their own inner world. So we don't attempt to do anything other than witness and support the work that's being done. 7, this is the big one. The therapist does not hurry the therapy along. It is a gradual process, and it is recognized as such by the therapist. All right, we all know what it's like. We all feel pressure for progress or outcomes. Sometimes from within, sometimes from without, from stakeholders, from teachers, from parents, from pediatricians, from judges, from ourselves, from whoever. We all have this pressure for progress and outcomes. And this principle counters the urge to do something about that pressure. Essentially, what we're doing is trusting the child's internal timeline. And we can't measure progress by external standards because healing happens in the child's time. So therefore, we have to honor the process. And finally, therapy is limited only by the boundaries required for the child to feel free and protected. The child's freedom is restricted only when necessary to protect the child, others, or the physical environment. Structure is important. Safety is important. Security is important. But it must be minimal. It must be predictable. It must be respectful. And we understand that there is only safety and security and structure within boundaries in a relationship. But we also know that those boundaries need to be minimal, predictable, and respectful. There's the fine line. There's the tightrope that we find ourselves walking. Because limits are set only when they're absolutely necessary in a consistent format, right? 3 steps. Reflect the feeling, acknowledge what the limit is neutrally, and then provide choices. Okay, we know there needs to be structure and safety and security. We know that sometimes limits are necessary, but they're minimal, predictable, and respectful. Why? Because the therapeutic environment, specifically the playroom, it is always intended to be emotionally permissive. It's always intended to be behaviorally permissive while being physically and relationally safe. I'm going to say that again because that's pretty much a mantra. So the playroom is meant to be emotionally permissive and behaviorally permissive while being physically safe and relationally safe. And that's what the 8th principle is about. It's about when we need to set limits and how. All right, so I told you that was a very brief Cliff's Notes, but let's be really clear on why these 8 principles matter. Not only do they serve as our guide rails of how to show up, but these are not techniques. I want that to be abundantly clear. These are not techniques. She was defining the way of being with children that echoed Roger's principles. So she took Roger's principles and defined the way of being in relation to children, just like Roger's defined the way of being with an adult client in the person-centered approach. And these 8 principles essentially became the foundation for CCPT as we know it today. And here's, in summary, what these 8 principles do. They challenge us as play therapists to first, trust the child. Second, to let go of control. yikes, that's a hard one. And third, to show up with presence instead of agenda. Those are the three challenges that come straight out of those eight principles. We trust the child, we let go of control, and we show up with presence instead of agenda. She stayed so true to Roger's theory, but translated it into the world of children and honored the fact that children will play rather than speak. So what does this mean in the grand scheme, other than we now have a sense of the way to be with children and to meet those challenges that we just talked about? But you have to keep in mind, before Axline, similarly to Rogers, right? We looked at psychoanalytic and behaviorists. That was the standard before Rogers. Well, similarly, child therapy before Axline was either psychoanalytic or behavioral. But in either case, they were both highly directive. So Axline shifts the focus to the child's inner world, just like Rogers shifted the focus to the adult's inner world. But uniquely, Axline said play is the medium for growth and healing for children. And she fully and wholly trusted and believed that what Rogers said about adults applied equally to children. And what did Rogers put out into the world that was so groundbreaking and such a shift? Well, that people need acceptance, not fixing. And they grow when they feel safe and seen and understood. And those are true for children as well. They don't need to be fixed. They need acceptance. And they will naturally grow, become a better version of themselves if they feel safe in the relationship, if they feel seen by the therapist, and if they feel understood. So, Axline's legacy essentially laid the groundwork for Landreth and other pioneers to follow. Her eight principles are still taught today, consistently. DIBS is often the first book that CCPT therapists read. It was for me. It was required coursework in my graduate certificate program. And it stands the test of time because it is so helpful to understand what it looks like with a case that you actually get to follow from beginning to end. But here's the thing. Her work is often misunderstood. I want to pause on this for a second. A lot of times therapists will read DIBS and see it as an opportunity to take techniques away. But here's the thing. If you take techniques away without embracing the non-directive, child-centered, child-led philosophy behind it, then you're just eclectic. And Axline was not creating a toolbox. That's not what her work was about. She laid a foundation for a way of being with children. We talk about that all the time. This is a way of being. We don't do this. We are this. This is a way of being. This way of being requires presence. It requires trust. It requires humility. That's why CCPT isn't for everyone. It requires things of us, and we have to be able to give those things. So here's the takeaway. You're not just using Axline's techniques. When you are fully CCPT, you are continuing Axline's legacy. If you are CCPT, you need to understand Axline's influence, where this model came from, why the non-directive component matters, and resist the temptation to guide or interpret or analyze what's going on. Why? Because everything about Axline's work trusted the child, and we should too. Yes, we trust the process all the time, but we also have to trust the child. That's what Axline put out into the world. Just trust the child. So I hope that that helps you see where we've been. And next episode, we're going to look at Bernard and Louise Gurney and how they expanded this model and brought parents into the process through filial play therapy, teaching parents to use CCPT principles with their own children. So I'd love to hear from you. If you have thoughts about this series, if you have thoughts about Axline or anything that we've been talking about, shoot me an email. I'd love to receive it, brenna@thekidcounselor.com. If you want to ask me a question, you can do that. If you'd like to leave a voicemail for me to answer a question, you can call 813-812-5525 in the States. And I love y'all, and I can't wait to dive into this series more. Thank you for letting me know that this series is meaningful and helpful to you. A lot of you have reached out, and I appreciate that. You're why I do this, so we're in this CCPT thing together. Love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.